Friday, January 29, 2021. Pancakes and pandemics. We're out here. Big day. 363 more days until Eve's next birthday, which is another way to say Eve got older this week. Hopefully she's still immature enough to talk about weird-sized animals fighting each other. Eve, tell us about the birthday. How was it?
Thank you for remembering my birthday, or letting me force you to remember my birthday. But it went pretty well. I didn't get to do a lot because it was a Wednesday, but it is now Friday, so today's my big party day.
Birthday weekend.
Yeah, my birthday week turning into the birthday weekend, and I am going to get crunk, and then I'm going to probably go out with a bunch of dudes. We'll see what happens.
Isn't crunk when you get high and drunk?
I thought it was like crazy drunk. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Oh.
The way you teed it up, it seems like you're going to get the old STD for your birthday.
Excuse me, what? No.
That's
okay. No, I don't. I use protection because I'm not.
Are you going to continue to take shots throughout the podcast and then like almost like barf when you?
No, I was trying to talk while I was trying to swallow the drink, so it didn't work out. I'm not used to drinking like this on the podcast. Okay, I'll go back to beer.
So Eve, you if your birthday was on Wednesday, that makes it Hump Day. Did you get to enjoy any Hump Day on your birthday?
Yes.
All right. Wait, was the guy we called the birthday guy?
No, that was so embarrassing. I forgot who he was a few days after I went out with him, and he texted me. And I'm like, who is, okay, name. No, it doesn't recommend. Nope, doesn't recall. And I'm like, I don't think we ever met. And he's like, we had sex like 3 days ago. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Whoopsies.
Yep.
Whoops. And by the way, if you're listening and you didn't listen to the last podcast that John dropped today, it is a phone call to this gentleman where Eve's marketing efforts were highlighted. I mean, you pursued rate subscribing and reviewing all the way to a point where you just basically begged this gentleman to rate, subscribe, and review. And we do have another 5-star rating. I'm assuming it's coming from your efforts. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be nice if you just played the podcast during sexual encounter, and you can just do that to our voices.
No. Instead of playing like Usher's, yeah, you're gonna play Pancakes and Pandemics.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you, the best part of those phone calls is the unnecessary whispering that we do. Like, I just find that so funny that we really don't have to whisper, but it makes it so much better that we're whispering.
Well, the best part, I listened to this just today at lunch, and the best part was Esteban being like, "Wait, he doesn't have the podcast app downloaded?"
Yeah. You know what? How do you not have the podcast app?
It comes preloaded. You would have to like assassinate it deliberately to take it off your phone.
You have to delete it to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Which makes you a horrible person. So I hope you never talk to that guy again. Is that true?
I won't now because you said that. Never again.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, Eve, I want to let you know that your birthday, January 27th, right, is your birthday?
The same day as Mozart. Yep.
Yeah, it's also, while you were celebrating, I didn't know if you knew this was a holiday, it's also International Holocaust Remembrance Day on January 27th. So while you were enjoying your fucking birthday, we're all sitting here remembering the Holocaust. So I hope you enjoyed it, because it was a pretty down day for the rest of us.
Did you watch Schindler's? Did you watch Schindler's List on my birthday? Is that what you did?
I did not.
I don't got 3 hours to spare. Like,
yeah, too much. it's also, by the way, it's National Chocolate Cake Day as well, which goes well when you remember the Holocaust. So I think those things tie in pretty well together. All right. We got 5 stars. We picked up some rate, subscribes, review. Eve is getting older. Oh, Eve, I saw your dad called you. You post on Facebook that your dad called you, and it seemed to be a happy moment for you. Anything you want to say about that?
I don't know. My dad's pretty funny. I wish I could have recorded it. But
you can call your dad.
That's great.
He never calls me. Like, I think he's called me 3 times in my whole life. He never initiates the phone call. So him calling me at 7 a.m. while I was still sleeping was really funny. And he was just like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm trying to wake up." He's like, "Well, wake on up. It's your birthday." I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you, Dad. And then he said he loved me, which again, my dad never tells me he loves me, except maybe like maybe five times my whole life. It was a pinnacle moment in my life, just having my father showing his affection.
In fairness, when he called you.
When you're remembering the Holocaust, it is you start thinking about the people you love. So that's probably what led him to say that.
Thank God I'm not Jewish.
Jesus. Okay. All right. Hey.
What?
Well, I think that would just be like a conflicting day then. Like, do I celebrate myself or do I celebrate the horrific actions?
Okay. I'm glad you clarified.
I'm glad you added some. Yeah, you needed some context.
Yeah, just sitting out there alone, that felt like something I needed to edit out of the podcast. Now I can let it play. All right. Hey, I wanted to get into the stock market. It's it's fucking insane. We got the market, Reddit, loser ass GameStop, hedge funds all stirred up in a pot of what the fuck is going on, Stu. Johnny, our resident and self-proclaimed financial wizard and stock market guru, can you please help us make sense of what's going on here?
Yes, it's crazy. It's fun. It's heart pounding if you have some skin in the game. And of course, I couldn't let like one of the craziest times in our stock market lives go without getting something in super risky. But yeah, people may be confused, right? Like there's a lot of talk about hedge funds and shorting the stock. And what does this all mean? So I am going to try to make this very bite-sized and break it down. But what happened is that hedge funds, typically they make big bets against stocks, such as in this case, GameStop. They bet that GameStop stock was overvalued. Even when it was at like in the $4 to $5 range, they bet that it was still, it had room to go down. And so the way that these bets that hedge funds make, the way that they work is that the hedge fund borrows shares of that company stock and then sells those borrowed shares. And so when it comes time to like give those borrowed shares back, they buy them on the market, hopefully at lower prices, right? So they borrow the shares, they have to give them back and they have to buy them. But they're betting that the price will come down. So for example, they might sell the borrowed share at $50, hoping to be able to buy the share back at $30 to make a $20 profit. This is called shorting a stock. And so the hedge funds were so sure that GameStop was going to go down that GameStop was one of the most shorted stocks on the market. 140% of the shares in existence were these borrowed or shorted shares, which is ridiculous, right? Like, first of all, I mean, there's a whole other discussion to be able to short a stock by over 100% of its shares. But it's just basically a situation of imagine Bob borrows from Jane, who then borrows from Sue, who then borrows from John, right? Shorting is very risky, but these hedge funds were so positive that they just didn't even care. Even with GameStop at rock bottom prices, people on Reddit, on Wall Street Bets, the subreddit, realized this, right? And realized that these hedge funds were like way over leveraged and basically thought, what if we all just buy shares and refuse to sell them back when the hedge funds need to give their borrowed shares back? They held on to their stocks with those diamond hands, baby. They clutched them tight. And so the price goes up in the GameStop shares, right? As more people buy, the hedge funds are then forced to buy back the expensive shares and they lose money. Except these asshat hedge funds kept on doubling down as the price rode up, expecting that it would eventually fall. And it's good that your dog likes it, Eve. And so the Redditors weren't scared, right? And they kept on holding on to the shares. And so it gets to the point where the hedge fund isn't even big enough to buy back the shares they borrowed because the price is so high. And when that happens, they can be put into a margin call. So basically, once they get to the point where they don't have enough money to pay for the shares they borrowed, their accounts can be liquidated and they can be forced to buy regardless of what the current price is. So if a big fund gets margin calls, it puts a huge amount of buying pressure on the stock, causing the already high stock price to go even higher, as what we've seen with GameStop. So as these funds get margin called, prices shoot up, causing more margin calls, and a lot of the funds, they go bankrupt. Like you saw, Melvin Capital had to basically take a bailout from another hedge fund company in order to stay in business. And so, yeah, basically a bunch of fuckboys on Reddit got together and said, you know what? We don't care what happens to our money. We're going to do this, and we're going to stick it to the man.
Our powers combined, we're gonna fuck them over.
Stick it to the other fuckboys.
So there's a lot. There's a lot more to that. That's basically.
Yeah, no, I liked it. You did a good job of explaining it. But we can all agree GameStop as a company still fucking sucks, right? Like, they are the Blockbuster of right now. Their company blows. Other than they do make good margin when you sell them back their games, because you can bring an entire PS4 and 45 games and they'll just give you like $20 for it.
I worked at a GameStop for 1 year in college. And yeah, someone brought in the newest Call of Duty 4 that had only been out for like 2 weeks, right? So that person bought it for $60. I gave that person $30 in-store credit, right? So they immediately lost, you know, $30, right?
$30.
And then I turned it around, and you can just print a label there. I put it back on the shelf for $54.99, so $5 less. And not 10 minutes later, someone came in and bought that used copy. And I was like, God damn, that's just free money for GameStop. Wow, what a great idea. But then, you know, a year later, when I saw that you could download full retail games directly to your console, ooh, this is not going to be good for GameStop.
Well, and also nowadays with like Facebook Marketplace and things, people can directly sell things to other people, and GameStop is obsolete when it comes to trading and games. And I don't really like that comment you made, because I used to work at Blockbuster for five great years. And I don't think Blockbuster was as GameStop. Well, that's different. Okay. Like it had a lot more purpose and nostalgia than I think GameStop does.
But I feel like this is the telltale story with this is that watch out for stocks or companies that have like cult like followings, right? So people banded together online to save GameStop and basically to, you know, stick it to the man. And I think that also happened with AMC. And even there's other brands.
Nokia,
out
there. Nokia, BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Naked. So, yeah. There's a lot of these boomer brands that these kids are seeing. If there's a big short interest in it, like a lot of hedge funds are shorting the stock, they're targeting those.
Yeah, so I feel like that's my, even though GameStop is a shitty brand, to Dubs' point, I feel like the fact that it is a historic brand is one of the reasons why people wanted to save it from the ashes. It's almost like our nostalgia from thinking back to our childhood.
One of the most amazing things, it has just been happening this week, as you see that certain trading platforms have been now starting to restrict shares on certain days that can be bought of GameStop or AMC, like the app Robinhood. I mean, they, for a short time, I think yesterday, they restricted everyone to only be able to sell their shares in it and not actually buy it. So it's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Which seems like bullshit.
It is bullshit. I mean, first of all, the app Robinhood was made targeted to young people to get young people to trade and be in the market. Right. And they called it fucking Robinhood. And so then when Robinhood actual shit starts happening, they try to shut it down. Like, come on, man.
Change it to Sheriff Little John, because that's bullshit, okay? He's hypocritical right there. And also, I heard that like the Congress or the senators got involved because it's like a free market, and now the stock market, because other people are in the game playing the same game as like hedge fund people, that they're just like whining like, oh, you can't do that, we can only do that. So I think it's kind of funny to see them lose some money over something that they do all the time.
Yeah, if you
well, real quick,
if you pull up CNBC at any point in time right now, you're going to see some Whitey McWhiteface boomer on there crying about this happening.
Yeah, is it possible? I don't know the answer to this question. The real question: can I short a stock if I wanted to, as just a normal dude? Like is that only can be done by a hedge fund? Like I don't understand why. Or how you would even short? Like, I've been on the stock market. I can only buy stocks and sell stocks. So there's no short. There's no short option. I can't borrow stocks.
So that's, yes, correct. You as an individual retail investor, you cannot short a stock or borrow it. You can buy puts. You can, which is a put, is that you're betting that a stock will go down. Whereas if you buy a call, you're betting it'll go up. But you can't. You yourself know you cannot short a stock.
Okay, I was curious. Yeah, go ahead, Espan.
No. Wait, while we're talking about the definitions of this, because I'm pretty unsure of a lot of them. So a couple of questions for John is, one, why do hedge funds exist? And then number two, do you hold on to your stock of GameStop right now, trying to hold on to it? Like, what's your plan if you're in Mr. Diamond Hands?
So, your first question is a good one. A hedge fund, the reason for its existence is so that you or I or whoever, an individual, can give them a block of money and say, hey, here's this money. You're going to charge me some fees for it. But at the end of the year, I expect that the returns that you make on this money for me will outweigh the fees that you charge me. So like that Melvin Capital, the one that's in the news that lost billions betting against GameStop, they typically generate a 30% return for their customers that give them a stack of money to invest on their behalf. They charge fees, of course, but it's, you know, you're going to make 30% on your money typically. Number two, with GameStop, diamond hands, baby. You got to hold. There's going to be dips. There's going to be rises. And I think that they're going to take this thing to 1,000. It's in the low 300s right now. It got up to like over 400 today. It got down to less than 200. It is crazy.
Yeah, where are you? Are you involved?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got daddy has more money in GameStop than he really should, but it is fun.
sticky fingers all over it. Yeah.
When did you get in though? How early did you get in on it?
Just 2 days ago.
So not at like the nadir, the lowest point or anything like that, right?
I did not get it under $10. No, I got it after it was hundreds of dollars. But I've sold, like I've done some swing trading on it. Like today when it got up, it was going up to 400. I should have held longer, right? But I sold at 370. And then I bought back in at under at like 280 something when it dipped down. And so now it's at 320, right? It closed at, I think after hours trading closed at 310 or 320. So I don't know, man, if you can play the game, you just got to like stomach the dips is all.
You have to be like attentive to this shit, right? Like you have to be on top of it.
Correct. Cause it was only over $400 for like,
I'd like to see John's productivity at the work office today. I would guess that the over under on email sent, I'll take the under, whatever that number is.
He doesn't even go in the office.
No, I know. It's
metaphorical. Yeah, you're looking at my office right
now. He's in the office right now.
Okay, so one other serious thing that I thought was kind of funny is I think that it is funny that like Rush Limbaugh, for instance, was talking about how only the rich can really make money on the stock market. And that's kind of what's exciting about this current environment. But he's also the same guy that was saying that the stock market is really the most important and best way to show how our economy is doing. So, that's the whole Trump administration. You just always heard about the stock market. And then when something like this happens, I start thinking, is the stock market real? Like, is it just a fucking game? Yeah. And so
it's an unnatural construct that we made.
And I also do wonder what COVID impact on the stock market. We all got, a lot of people got excess money that they didn't normally have or didn't normally need. Like I'll admit I'm one of them. I didn't need any extra money. My salary wasn't impacted. So yeah, there's plenty of people like me that got money. And also plenty of people sitting at home can't do what they normally do. And I think more people are dancing in the stock market nowadays. And so shit like this can happen.
Yeah, and that's why the market's been really good over the last several months, even though this pandemic has shut a lot of stuff down, right? But the market has been really great because, yes, fucking idiots like me, there's a bunch of me across the planet that are now just working from home every day. And you know what? I'm going to dabble here in the stock market.
But I do feel like there's something about the fact that if you have money, like liquid funds available to you, sure, you can do that. But there are many people in the U.S. that don't.
Right.
So I feel like it's yet another example of like, if you have the means, like you can get ahead. But like there are just some people that are like, I can't throw in a couple thousand because that's not the current state of my life. And that's just like the reality. So I don't know, the COVID era just continues to rear its ugly head, I think, and make the gap get wider.
It rings true no matter what. The best way to make money is to have money.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I'm curious, do you guys all use Reddit?
No. I only use it when
Reddit, I... the app?
Yes.
I the app. Okay.
Reddit's only good for memes or when you have to like find out which GAMP graphics card you want to ask a boy to buy you.
The memes are fire. They're really good.
Okay, Reddit's for memes. So I have a friend that pushes Reddit all the fucking time on me. And partially, almost out of spite, I don't go there for some reason. It's really kind of a dick move. But he'll always talk about fantasy sports. He's like, yeah, you should check out Reddit. They've got some great subreddits about. And I was just kind of curious if it was worth it. Reddit came up again, obviously, in big, big ways this week. And I was like, maybe I do need to get on some fucking Reddit.
So why is Reddit? So quick question, because anybody can get on Reddit and anybody can post on Reddit. So how do we not just get tons and tons of trolls saying things that are either false or not helpful at all, flooding Reddit? Because that's what's happening on like Instagram and stuff, right? Like the bots saying random shit. Like, isn't that what's happening on Reddit too, or no?
I don't know. I think it's regulated somewhat. And I also think boomers don't really know what it is yet.
There's a lot of automated bots that try to clean up, that have like some trigger words and ban people if they are repeat offenders of posting ridiculous or false information. And there's also guidelines to each Reddit thread, like, hey, don't post about this, or we don't want to hear about this, or mm-hmm. you could possibly get banned. And so you need to stay within the guidelines of the topics on there. So there are some controls in place. But Dubs, so Reddit is almost like if you're ever watching YouTube and then it suggests yeah. another video, or if you're on Wikipedia okay. and it suggests another random article, and then you're like 10 videos into YouTube, you're like, what the where did the last hour go? Reddit's kind of like that. You could fall down that rabbit hole of like just interesting shit on top of interesting shit.
No, actually, John, the last time my buddy called about Reddit, he was talking about you. He was telling me that there's a Reddit about family members that they've lost to QAnon. And he was talking about your mother. he went as far to say you have to have John's mother on the podcast. Like that's the only thing he wants on the podcast. And I said, oh my God. I don't think we can arrange that. But his suggestion was to not tell you about it. Was to just set it up.
Surprise me with my mother. Listen, yes, my mother's retired, and she will listen to every single fucking episode that we've done. And right. I know I've said some things that might raise her eyebrow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that, like, how do you keep your mom from ever finding out about this podcast then? Like, how do you actually prevent that from happening?
I have no idea. Once, like, they get vaccinated and I'm vaccinated, and they come out and visit, they're going to see this gigantic setup with this huge black arm and microphone in front of my computer and be like, what is that for? Well, I don't know. It's just I do some fun stuff with – I don't. Whatever.
Don't want to talk about it, Mom.
Maybe she doesn't have the podcast app, so it won't matter.
Yeah, maybe she went out of her way to delete the podcast app. Hey, did anything else on this topic before we move into garbage facts? I'm going to take the deafening silence.
I don't know. It's interesting. I could talk about it more, but I think we hit the high notes on it all. I am getting more and more into the Reddit, and I'm on the Discord channel now of the Wall Street Bet subreddit. And a lot of it's trash, but there are some good pieces of information that come out of it. Like I did get the tip to hop on AMC before it went to the moon from being on the Discord channel. And if you don't know what Discord is, it's like a chat feature on your computer.
It's like TeamSpeak. Yeah.
Talk to other people. So
chat as in like it, you actually hear, it's not typing chat.
It's typing. It has both. I just do the typing. Oh, okay. I don't want to hear a million 13-year-old white guys, you know, just yell into a microphone.
Fair enough.
I think my takeaway is that I'm playing checkers with my life, working my 12-hour-a-day job, and really I should be playing chess by following somebody's diamond hand. Recommendations to start investing creatively on Robinhood. So hook me up, John. Let's do this.
All right. I'm with you.
Woo! John's got another financial customer. He started with me. Actually, I do want to plug John. He gave me some financial advice. I made like $500 on it. He gave Gunther some financial advice and he lost $1,000. So he's so, you know, listen, there's ebbs and flows and you pay for what, you know, you pay for what you get. I paid John $0. And so he's very, very inexpensive.
I just give you the tips. I don't tell you when to sell. I'll give you the turf. I'll point you in the right direction. You figure out when you want to buy and sell.
Fair enough. Good point. Good point. All right. Garbage facts, baby. I love garbage facts.
Best podcast, what we regarded as. P&P in this bitch, where the party at? We know some dope ass shit that be hard to match. So listen up, y'all. Here's some garbage facts. Let's go.
They're facts. They're not usually really that good, but they are sometimes interesting. Eve, birthday girl, what do you got?
Did you know you are 14% more likely to die on your birthday than any other day of the year?
Shit. I guess that makes sense, though. Now that you think about it, it makes sense because you probably – you party, right? And make you get hopped up. You make some bad decisions. And bad decisions sometimes lead to death.
Wow. This is pretty dark, yeah.
You're welcome.
Now, do you think that's
as she takes a shot?
Yeah, Jesus. Well, it's past her birthday. Today's a
Friday. Hey, it's not black licorice. I'm not eating black licorice. All right.
Jesus.
What happens when you eat black licorice?
What? I thought you were the ombudsman. Black licorice kills.
Oh yeah, there was that dude who might have also been high on heroin and a lot of black licorice and died.
If you eat a ton of black. Like,
how many months ago was that episode? That was a while ago.
2 months.
Yeah. He was eating 3 bags of black licorice a day. That's in a different strategy.
Over the recommended Surgeon General's advice, which is to not eat any fucking black licorice because it's gross.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. Good point.
Yeah, drink tequila instead.
What's your garbage fact, Johnny?
When choir members sing together, their heartbeats also synchronize.
Oh, fuck this.
That's not true. There's no fucking way.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's a garbage fact. It has to be true. What? Yeah. I mean, no fact check needed. It's been garbage fact. Who? That's unbelievable. Diamond hands.
Look it up.
I think we should dig into this a little bit.
Nope. If it was said on garbage facts, it becomes true.
Do some off-air research, ombudsman, and come back. Come back. Let's talk.
So I look forward to
it. He looks forward to his reunion, whatever.
Well said. Well said, Eve.
Oh, boy.
Nailed that. Water.
Reunion. All right. So we've got heartbeats. So wait, in a choir, any choir. Any fucking choir, the heart.
Yeah, if they sing together, right? A choir singing together has been proven that their heartbeats will synchronize.
Okay. Jesus, I don't know that I agree. Okay, but we're gonna go with it.
It's not Santa Claus. It's not something you get to choose to believe in or not believe in. It is so.
It's a
fact.
Garbage.
It's so weird. I don't know.
I have spoken.
Yeah, it does sound wild. All right. Go ahead, Esteban.
All right. So I hope that you guys haven't done this one before because then you'll ombudsman me, but I don't think you have. So guys, it takes 364 licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll.
What?
Pop. So I know that there's many for the listener.
Mr. Owl.
You're right. For the listener that is maybe, you know, too young or too old, although if you're too old, you had kids that watch this. There were many commercials on TV about how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. And so engineering students from Purdue University designed a licking machine that was built to function like a real human tongue and found out that the average was 364 licks to get to the center. They also had several human volunteers try the experiment. And the true real human tongues average 252 licks. So you be the judge of that, but there is about 100 lick difference between the human and the robot.
I think there's a big missed opportunity with these students here. I mean, if I created a licking machine that simulates a human tongue, my first order of action would not be to apply it to a fucking Tootsie Pop. It would probably be to put it to my asshole.
We know this about the robot lover here.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to say was John's eyes got so wide when you said there was a licking machine. That's what I was going to say, but then John beat me to it. And yeah, I mean, the asshole thing, while I immediately was sort of disgusted as I thought about it, yeah, I think that's probably what I would do with it as well.
This would be reasonable.
John was just like, another robot to do my bidding.
So I actually like garbage facts. I wrote down two facts as if there was a chance that you guys were going to steal one of my garbage facts.
Did we get close?
No, not at all. All right, but I guess I just pick one of these, or maybe I'll give them both. Who knows? All right. So yeah, the one I'll go with: people can suffer from a psychological disorder called Bowenthropy. Geez, Dubs, what is Bowenthropy? I'll tell you what it is. It's a psychological disorder that makes people believe they are a cow, and they try to live their life as a cow. So if you see like some people eating grass in a field, you don't judge them. They have Bowenthropy.
Just go push them over while they're
murder
sitting
there. Them.
Bowenthropy. Okay. All right.
I'm going to go with my other garbage fact because I'm going to lose it. And may as well give it to you. More than 1/5 of all the calories consumed by humans worldwide is provided by rice alone.
Because they're all Chinese people.
I was about to say, another reminder, if you live on Earth and you're not Asian, you're a fucking minority. Check yourself, white people. So yeah, those are my garbage facts. So let's try to summarize here. John, Eve said you're probably going to die on your birthday. John said, well, he said something about licking his asshole with a machine, but what did you say is your garbage fact?
Yeah, Esteban. Esteban's talking about the Tootsie Pops.
The heartbeats. Heartbeats. If you're in a choir and you're looking to the guy next to you, your heart is beating at the exact same time. It's fucking bizarre.
No, Esteban says
it takes one lick every day for a year to get to the center. And then I told you that Asian people, there's a lot of them, and that sometimes people think they're cows. That's pretty much what we talked about. Garbage facts, summarized. Feel really good about it.
Megan Thee Stallion needs to make a song about Tootsie Rolls and licking now. It's going to be it.
That song's tootsie been made. Roll. Yeah.
Let me see that Tootsie Roll.
Hey, part of me wants to sing together.
No.
So what we can see if our hearts are beating.
Happy birthday to Eve.
Does anyone have a heart murmur?
Yeah, that's a good follow-up question that obviously the garbage fact can't sustain. But if someone does have a heart murmur and they're in the choir, can they fix their heart murmur by singing in a choir all the time?
It also murmurs in synchronous effect? Synchronicity? The murmur synchronizes.
Yeah, you and Eve should get your vocabulary.
I have tequila. I just don't have any excuse.
I got to talk about something. It's called Dr. Fauci. Okay. Esteban shared an interview podcast of Dr. Fauci describing his experience working under the Trump administration. And before we even talk about it, the over-under on people on this podcast that listened to that was 2.5. I took the over because I knew Esteban was a yes. Dubs is a yes. We're professionals and we prepare. I'm kind of looking at John and Eve. Do you guys listen to the podcast?
Which one?
I did not listen. I didn't. Yeah. Okay. So Eve didn't. I did not. But I read the article. I read the article in the Atlantic about it.
I'm just waiting for you to say Dr. Fauci one more time, like Beetlejuice, because you never say his name properly.
Well, here's the deal. I'll just come out and say it. I listened to the interview. I like Dr. Fauci now. I really do. He didn't take. So the interviewer was definitely like, being like, hey, how much did it suck working for Trump? That was kind of like the way the interviewer was working. And Dr. Fauci didn't take any low blows, just kind of gave some facts. In some cases, actually even defended Trump. Like when the guy said, do you hold Trump responsibly for killing thousands of people? And Dr. Fauci was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he did have some empathy, I think, for how difficult decisions were that had to be made at his level. It was funny. Don't get me wrong. The description of working with Trump was hilarious, but I'm going to do a complete 360, 180, 90 degree turn. I love Dr. Fauci, and I'm going to start getting offended when people don't say his name right.
So you're becoming mean then.
So that's actually, by the way, this is one of the reasons why I recommended you guys to listen to it, especially you, Dubs. And I'm glad that you were, I think Eve is saying she did as well, but I'm glad that you did listen, because as I listened to the episode, I was like, you cannot dislike this guy. This guy is legit. He's like an honest, very real dude. gave it real. He did defend Trump at times. He also did not defend Trump at times. He actually said, you know, the fact that I could not speak about evidence-based medicine, which is what every healthcare professional is trained on in front of, you know, millions of people in the United States on TV, really disturbed him. And he finally was able to talk about that as well. I loved it. I thought it was an excellent interview. So I thought you guys would appreciate
it. Well, I wish I'd listened to it, but I did read the article, like the transcript of the interview. And it was really interesting, right? Like Fauci said he was a little flummoxed that Trump would put like anecdotal advice he would get from a golf buddy on the same level as medical science. Like if someone just said, Hey Donnie, this is a cool thing. Hydroxychloroquine, this works. Then he'd bring it to Fauci, be like, hey, yeah, this is a good thing. And Fauci's like, well, not really. And here's the facts as to why. And Trump would be like, no, you should actually, I've been hearing good things about this. And I just found interesting. Fauci's like, you know what? I like Trump. We're both like New Yorkers. We can kind of like relate and talk to each other. And like, I actually enjoy him as a person, but he didn't like the people, I guess, standing behind him, right? The people whispering in Donnie Trump's ears. And that was the biggest.
Your description of that's the part that made me laugh the hardest was it sounded like I'm just imagining like this meeting, right? Where Dr. Fauci is sitting down, like saying, here's what's going on. And like Trump just is like, hey, have we tried essential oils? I was talking to my wife the other day. Those things seem really good. Has everybody kicked that idea around? And you know, I just think the amount of times that Dr. Fauci had to roll his eyes at some shit that Trump like, and it was funny in the interview because he, you know, Dr. Fauci is obviously a really smart dude, very well spoken. And you could see him like trying to say things that were like, he's not going to destroy Trump, but there were some, like, you could hear it in his voice. Like, God, that guy, a character.
Can we just inject bleach into our veins? You know, sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like a good idea. I don't hate it.
He had to pause. To your point, though, there were multiple times in the interview of this where he paused for like 5 to 10 seconds to collect himself on how to respond. Like, so that way he was like, okay, what should I not say right now? Because I don't want to absolutely trash this guy. Because, you know, while he said that he enjoyed spending time with Trump or enjoyed the fact that they were New Yorkers, he did that quickly changed as time went on, especially when his life and his daughter's and his wife's life were in danger, when he was getting sent like white powder in the mail and stuff. Like, I mean, he was kind of like,
crazy story, the white powder in the mail. Yeah. Nuts.
He was like, that's when he knew, like, this shit was not going well. Like, that's when he was like,
The way, the podcast is called Skunk at the Picnic, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
Esteban and Meyer. Okay. So if you go to your podcast app, we don't ever promote any other podcasts than our own. But if you did type that in, that you would get that episode. But it was also funny that that's what they called him. Like that's the name of the episode is like, that's what he was referred to within the Trump administration, because, and it was a joke. Like it was a joke, but it was also serious because they would be like, man, things aren't going that bad. Like, you know, COVID kind of turned it around. And Fauci was like, well, there's this thing where it's not. And we could also talk about that. And so, yeah, they referred to him as the skunk at the picnic, but he said many times, like he was that, and he felt like there needed to be the skunk at the picnic to bring people down to earth to be like, hey guys, we haven't won yet. It's not over. So yeah, it was an awesome interview. I would recommend after you listen to this episode all the way through and you have some time in between the next one that we release, that would be a good podcast.
I was really also fascinated, and who I want to find out more about now is Deborah Birx. So if you remember her, she was on the White House pandemic response team, and she's the one at the press conferences who looks like your favorite childless aunt. And so Deborah Birx, who she's been highly criticized as like not being, you know, very critical of the president or the administration. But Fauci basically, the vibe that I got was he was saying, you know, she was held hostage. Like she has to live and work in the White House every single day. So yeah, I totally get why she wasn't like hugely critical of the administration when in fact, you know, she's a champion of facts and tried to do that. And she wasn't a heel, but she had to be around those people on a daily basis. Whereas Fauci was kind of removed, right? He gets to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
in way different offices and kind of be left alone for the most part, except when he, you know, strolls in and sprays everyone with stinky stuff at the picnic.
So what I understand is that, so technically Fauci could not be fired. He could be fired from the task force.
Yeah.
But his role is not something that can be removed by the president.
It's not a political appointment. Yeah.
Right. Whereas Burks could.
And well, actually, he could have removed the task force, but you would have looked like an absolute ass.
Correct. Now, I mean, in the end of the day, this is a good opportunity to just, you know, remind the listeners probably from an episode, I don't know, back last July or August when I mentioned this, is that Trump or Fauci rather is already like a 30, 40 year veteran of infectious disease leadership in the U.S. and was like the main guy fighting HIV back in the 80s. Yeah. So like this guy has already had a storied career, which I don't know. I just found he's a very humble guy in the end of the day. So, yeah.
You know what? I will say this. The one thing the podcast didn't address at all was why he throws like a little bitch.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he didn't talk about it at all. We didn't get into it. And it was like, bro, you're not going to even touch on that throw? Like, it was fucking awful.
Well, I think everyone understands he's a tiny 80-year-old man.
I am going to throw way better than him.
He's like my left hand. He's like Geppetto, but in normal times. Like, he does not have any athletic ability. He just builds little wooden toys.
Neither does 50 Cent. I don't know if you guys remember 50 Cent's throw when he went.
What's his name again?
Fitty?
Curtis Jackson.
Curtis Jackson is his name.
Look that up, listener, if you haven't seen it at least recently.
Yeah,
that's just as bad, if not worse.
I think Carly Rae Jepsen had a bad throw, too.
Maybe.
Okay, he's a camera person, right?
Thank you, Eve.
All right. Well, I'm glad we talked about that. And it's a good – talking about Dr. Fauci not being able to throw is a good little transition into some sports. So 2021 is so far been the year of the old person. Tom Brady still going to the Super Bowl. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA still. And Eve is thriving in her old age as well. So, yeah.
I'm younger than all of y'all.
You're now well past your child bearing years, Eve. So
I am in the middle of my child bearing years.
Only one of us got older this week, Eve, and it wasn't any of
men. I don't think that's correct. I don't think that's correct.
Only one of us got an extra number in there. So there you go.
Two numbers.
Yeah.
No, but can we talk about where do you guys want to start? I guess let me start with this. Are Tom Brady and LeBron James, are they the GOATs of their respective sports?
Yeah, they eat a lot of garbage.
John, don't laugh at that. That sucks.
I mean, it just caught me off guard with how terrible it was.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Unquestionably, Brady is. LeBron, yeah. I think the reason why LeBron will be, without a doubt, no questions asked, is that he like you said, he's the best player in the game today. He's got many years left. Like, the guy's going to have every record. He's going to have every record in the book at the end of the day. He's going to have it all. And yeah, that's
I don't want to have a LeBron versus Michael Jordan conversation.
You don't have to.
I think that's been beaten to the ground. Okay. But yeah, they are. They are right now on the top of the game. They're the best that have ever done it and are doing it. And yeah, LeBron James is what, 36? Tom Brady is 40 bleeping three? Like,
yeah. And Tom Brady is insane because LeBron looks older. You know, his hairline's going backwards.
I thought black didn't crack.
Well, it doesn't, but he's got a little bit of oldness to him. I mean, the hairline.
Black don't crack.
He's got a little gray, even if you look closely. He can't jump as high as he used to. Tom Brady looks like he's younger than he was when he was younger. I don't know how it happened, but it's ridiculous. I mean, I sent you guys those pictures.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree with you on LeBron. LeBron has been actually aging, and his hairline suspiciously moves back and forth depending right. on where he's going
in the off season. He's able to get it to come back a little
he
bit.
He goes and makes that shit. Yeah. He regenerates it. Depending on what specialist he's seen, a doctor who's not a doctor. But yeah, Tom Brady has very obviously made a deal with the Prince of Darkness. And that's the only thing that I can point to. But it has to be it.
Ozzy Osbourne?
Can we?
Satan.
Oh.
Can we also agree, though, Tom Brady, so he's obviously the championships. I mean, he is the GOAT. I agree, undoubtedly. But he is also, when you look back at some of his wins, he's had some unbelievably lucky wins. And he's definitely, like, luck is certainly, you create your own luck sometimes.
Or you deflate balls.
Yeah, I mean, there was that. I think that was overblown, in my opinion.
I mean, it was underblown, obviously.
Ooh! Oh, boom! That was good. That was way better than anything else you've said on your lame jokes. Well, that was not a lame joke. I'll trade that to a good joke.
My probability of landing is very low.
Yep.
You're a volume shooter. We appreciate it.
Volume shooter. Yep, I agree. That's I do appreciate it. But so wait, you had the Falcons comeback, for instance. He was awesome in that game. Unbelievable in that game. But it was still like Falcons, if you literally ran the ball three times and punted the entire fourth quarter, you would have won the fucking game. Like, that was awesome. The Russell Wilson interception at the goal line is another one that comes to mind. And then I also noticed a stat came out this week. He's 3-1 in the playoffs when throwing three interceptions or more. The rest of playoff quarterbacks have like a 20% winning percentage when they throw three picks or more. So there's a level of luck that he's got. But yeah, I mean, unbelievable. He's the GOAT.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, Esteban, go ahead.
I was just, the point that I was going to make is obviously we already pointed out his age. So he has had a lot of opportunities to win and to lose. He's also lost multiple Super Bowls, right? Yep. So I think in the end of the day, though, you know, the example that you just provided about like he's gotten lucky, like, or other teams have lost the games, like the Packers in this last game. I think they lost that game. That was not necessarily Tom being brilliant. I mean, Tom had a couple of deep balls on blown coverage, especially that last pass in the first half, but that was not his game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers lost that game along with the Packers. I don't think that was a Brady brilliance, you know?
I agree with you. Like Tom didn't have a great game, honestly, besides, yes, that great pass at the end of the first half, which changed the entire complexion of the game. But yeah, he threw three picks, and the Packers, I hate what the Packers are doing to Aaron Rodgers. They're squandering one of our nation's most precious resources, and that's a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. And they don't surround him with anything. Instead, in the first round of the draft this year, they drafted his replacement, right? And they haven't even used the guy. And this should have been my garbage fact, but out of their draft this year, the Packers, only one of the players from their draft had any snaps in that game, took any snaps, and it was like a backup lineman. And like, it's a disorganized organization, and they're fucking Aaron Rodgers, and I hate him.
Hold on, Aaron Rodgers,
I hate the organization.
I have to comment here because I don't think anybody besides John right now agrees that the Packers are a bad organization because they just win. They've won for literally their entire existence in the NFL. They can't stop winning. So they're not a bad organization. I do also think that Aaron Rodgers does have weapons. Davante Adams is literally the weapon. The weapon in the whole league. There's nobody else.
Take your plural off that word for me.
Aaron Jones is not a weapon. I believe he is. So what I'm saying is that Aaron Rodgers probably deserves just a little bit of responsibility for not running to the right into the end zone, or at least close to it, to try to help the team go for it on fourth down. Is it his
fault? Agreed.
Is it his fault that the coach didn't call, a fourth down play? No, it is not his fault. But he didn't do anything to help that scenario. So I feel like when you're adding up the blame, I'm not sure that you can blame the Packers ownership or management on this one. I don't know.
Maybe he should have tried for the run there. I agree. I don't think there's any guarantee he would have made it. Just looking at where the defenders are and knowing that, you know, he's my age. He's not all that fast anymore. But he did say, he came out later, I think on the Pat McAfee show, and said that he thought it was four down territory. He thought that they were going to go for it for sure. And then Mike LeFleur decided to kick a field goal for no reason instead of go for it on fourth down, the French loser.
Very stupid. I agree.
It was stupid. The only thing I'd say is if that penalty flag didn't get thrown, it was a penalty, but it wasn't a penalty throughout a lot of that game. If they got the ball back with 2 minutes left, if they got the ball back with 2 minutes left and Aaron Rodgers has the ball and they score and win the game, because otherwise it would have just been a tie game. Like, everyone's acting like if they would have scored a touchdown, they would have still needed to get a 2-point conversion and then win the game from that point on. I'm not sure that would have happened. If they get the ball back and score, they win the game. I don't know. I didn't. The field goal looks really, really bad when it doesn't work out. I'm just saying, if it was very close to potentially working out.
Can I just make I feel like I see a Dubs kind of preparation to switch topics, but before we do, can we just make a quick comment that LeBron James, GOAT conversation, John will never, doesn't matter what LeBron James does between now and 2026, he'll never be considered the GOAT because John has a block in his brain, as well as other sports kind of commentators. So no matter what he does, he will not be considered the GOAT. Answer that question, Diamond Hands.
No, I don't. I don't.
I think John already thinks LeBron's the GOAT. Like,
yeah.
If you did The Last Dance, if you listen to The Last Dance, John's a big Michael Jordan sucks.
And
he also doesn't like LeBron. You also don't love LeBron.
I don't love him, but I do love him. I don't think I have to love him to like him and respect him. I do. I think he's the best. He is the best basketball. He's bigger, stronger, faster than anyone who's ever played the game. And I think he's the best at it. Yeah, I think he's better than Michael Jordan. I don't have
both those guys. Both of those guys, part of what makes him so good is the longevity. Actually, maybe the most impressive.
He just doesn't get injured. He doesn't take
games. Or older. Like, when is he going to start? When is Washington Wizards LeBron coming to play? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. All right. I do want to talk about a hot take I have about Tom Brady. If he wins the Super Bowl this year, and let's say he retires next year or the year after, I think he should go to the Hall of Fame wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers helmet.
No!
Fuck the Patriots! Go in as a Buck!
I'm with you. I'm so with you. I was such a huge fan of the Buccaneers team last year, watching them with Jameis Winston just throw for 5,000 yards with 4 picks a game and not give a fuck. But now, like, watching Tom Brady with it, like, oh, that's what you can do with that exact same team and offensive talent if you just don't turn over the ball 4 or 5 times a game. Like, Tom Brady deserves, and the Buccaneers deserve.
He's a Buccaneer.
Yeah, he's a Buccaneer. Right. In my mind, lifer, Buck lifer.
I think what Dubs is getting at, though, is like, fuck the Patriots. Is really what he's getting at.
Fuck all the people in Boston. Fuck them. They can have Drew Bledsoe. If he ever makes it to the Hall of Fame, he can go in as a Patriot. But Tom Brady,
any team that Tom Brady touches. That's all I'm going to say.
Ooh.
Okay. If he ever goes to the Packers, I'm just going to give
up. Let me ask you, though. You've described your, go-to guy. No, go-to guy as far as looks. You know, clean-shaven, white, taller. Tom Brady, tan. Tom Brady hits every single one of those and hits them pretty hard. You're telling me Tom Brady isn't kind of sexy?
I feel like Tom Brady is like one of those guys in high school that is super popular and super attractive that you automatically hate because you just hate him. So
I will say as someone with a face that whenever I eat something, it goes right to my face. I really I'm super jealous of Tom Brady's well-defined cheekbones. He is
really good cheekbones.
He's a handsome man. Yeah,
especially now versus 20 years ago, because back then that was not the best look.
No, I agree.
As we referenced,
Years of HGH, Botox, and chemical peels have done him well.
All right, hey, while we're talking about the Hall of Fame and how Tom Brady's a no doubt Buccaneer, no baseball Hall of Famers this year. One thing I will say about the Baseball Hall of Fame, they're not like the NFL Hall of Fame where you just like, oh, you played NFL for 10 years? Yeah, you're a Hall of Famer. You actually do have to be pretty good. But this year, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens were on the ballot. A-Rod's going to be on the ballot next year. None of them are getting in. Are we good with this or not?
My dad loves Barry Bonds. So, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect segue there. So, Eve, what is your thoughts on Barry Bonds getting into the Hall of Fame?
Go for it. Connect Four. I don't know. I think Barry Bonds is better than Tom Brady. And, yeah, he had some drug issues or whatever, right? But steroids.
Allegedly.
But, I mean, he's better than Mark McGwire. He's better than Sammy Sosa, all right? I think Barry Bonds deserves it.
So the problem I have with the Barry Bonds is, and Dubs' video is freaking me out right now. It's like the problem I have with Barry Bonds is that him, A-Rod, and I feel like I add in Manny Ramirez, but Roger Clemens probably also deserves to be in there.
Yes.
They just were already the best players at their position. None of them needed to improve over the rest of their competition. Like they were already the best. And that's the part that's kind of shocking and disappointing. I mean, I guess Barry Bonds probably wasn't the, 700 whatever home run guy before, juicing up, but he was already like stealing 30 bases a year, 30 home runs a year. I don't know. Just very disappointing to me.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's very interesting, right? Like, I'm not super into baseball, but I do respect athleticism. And yes, even without steroids, those guys were better players. And if there is a fountain of youth that, your sport doesn't test for or your workplace doesn't test for, and you need to stay young to stay relevant and keep going, then why wouldn't you tap into that fountain of youth? Like, I don't hold it against any of those guys. And I wish there were less, boomer media writers that didn't hold it against them as well. What I do find interesting is Curt Schilling getting butthurt that he was on the ballot, didn't get voted in, and now wants to be like manually removed from the Hall of Fame ballot.
Well, I think Curt Schilling is very much a fringe guy anyways. He's absolutely not a Roger Clemens in terms of his achievements in his career. He was very good. But to call him like a guaranteed get into the Hall of Fame, no. And the interesting part is that he's not even being held out because of steroids. He's being held out because he tweets shit about, being in support of the Capitol rioters, right? Like that's just one example of so many of his like either racist or just super politically charged kind of perspective. So, yeah.
We should do like a segment sometimes and just talk about Curt Schilling because his career has been fascinating. From everything that I know, I've heard about him from the baseball side, he has like those signature win moments and like coming through in a big clutch game time situation where he probably should, based on merit, get into the Hall of Fame. But I'm more interested in the social aspect of it. And I watched his career at ESPN, and a lot of people want to say he was fired from ESPN for tweeting far right bullshit things, but that's not really it. Like he was fired for being a recidivist. Like he would tweet something hateful or awful, and he would get his management would say, hey, don't do that. And around the 13th or 14th time he did it, they finally said, okay, like you're fired, dude. Like you keep on disobeying us when like we're telling you not to do this. So yeah, it's interesting. He's had an interesting career, a failed video game company that he used like I believe taxpayer money to like fund, and a lot of his own money too. So anyways, that's something we should maybe look into at a later.
I was actually when I read about his video game company, I had forgotten about it. Do you guys, you video gamers, actually play any of his stuff? Like, did you ever see any of his games come out?
Yeah, well, he did like sports games, right? Like, or no, was it 2K or Take Two Interactive?
Curt Schilling.
Schilling. What was his video game company?
I don't remember the name of it, but I was just when I heard about it, I was like,
38 Studios. So yeah, I mean it was a company that made like well known AAA games.
Yeah, Dubs. By the way, we shat all over Barry Bonds for not needing to cheat, but then deciding to cheat anyways because he was already the best at his position. And now we're on to the fact that Curt Schilling is a racist asshole.
He made like a action game called Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning. It looks like there's a knight on the cover. It's not sports related at all. I don't know what this is.
I do want to just take a quick second to describe what it was like for me. It was like I just now on this podcast. It was as though I was Will Ferrell in that movie where he gets shot with the tranquilizer. All of a sudden, you guys started talking like this, and everybody was talking like this, and then my computer went black, and I was like, "Holy shit! What the fuck was that?" So I really don't know what happened.
All you need to know is you need to use that STEMI money on a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
My audio jack. By the way, the audio sounds great. All it needed was a little restart for me. All right. Hey, are we done? Are we moving on to Gimme Gimme or Nah? Or we still got more to talk about? Okay.
I think we're ready to move forward.
Okay. Well, I'm back. Eve, birthday girl, Gimme Gimme or Nah? What do you got?
Well, it looks like it's time for one of my favorites. Let's play a round of Gimme Gimme or Nah.
All right. I'm finally doing this again after Esteban took it over last time. So,
Jelly. Poorly, by the way.
Jelly.
Versus.
Yeah. First, Gimme Gimme or Nah. Blah, blah, blah. Versus.
Yeah. No. My wife got home from driving from her commute from work. He goes, "Oh, my God. I asked Esteban, screwed up. Gimme Gimme or Nah was hilarious."
Okay. So.
Damn it.
Gimme Gimme or Nah, paying extra to get on a commercial flight without children on it. Esteban.
Gimme Gimme. First off, I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
Yeah, so can you do that?
It's not a thing. I just made it up because I thought about it.
Breaking news to you?
Okay, I got into an argument at work a couple days ago. I think it was actually the day before my birthday. A dude was talking about how annoying dogs were on the airplane. And I said, you know, it's not as annoying as kids. And he goes, well, I'd rather be on a flight with dogs. And I said, well, I think kids should have a little place in the back that's like soundproof where I don't have to ever hear from them again. So,
like a little ball pit area. Huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm gimme gimme. Cause I mean, first off, shit, that sounds like, you know, next generation flying. Give me that for sure. I mean, who doesn't want to avoid the screaming baby as they enter, or the kids that are running around that bother you? And you're like, how are there not parents taking care of them right now? All of that, if you could wipe it out, I would pay the extra fee. So definitely gimme gimme.
Make it so. Okay.
I did. The first thing I wrote down was, is this a thing? Is this a real thing? Yeah. I mean, I will say, Eve, gimme, gimme or Nah, usually things that you can actually do or not do. So I like this.
No, there's no rules.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying, usually. But I like that you decided to just go off the rails here.
So what do you think, Dubs?
Oh, I'm up. Okay. Yeah. I think I'm Nah. I do think there's a real thing when you become a parent, specifically when you have four kids, where like kids crying and acting like assholes doesn't bother me that much. In a lot of ways, it makes me feel better about my situation. And listen, if you said, would you rather get on a flight without kids? Yeah. But am I going to pay any extra money? John can attest to my cheapness, or what I would say, frugality. So I'm going to go Nah. And deal with screaming babies.
Okay, so now that I don't know, I feel like John is somebody that I want to know, since you don't really watch your kids properly. Are you the type of person that wants kids on aircraft, or would rather avoid them entirely?
Well, after and I'm pretty sure what your take is on this, Eve. But when I feel childless people's pain, it gives me energy and joy. So I'm Nah, because I want you to be around screaming children, because I have to be around two of them. for a large portion of my life. And you know, not all the time, because I can just pawn them off on my wife. But yeah, you childless folks should have to bear my burden too, especially when I'm in an enclosed tomb. And so, and just outside of my petty, spiteful self, you want to make flying more complicated? Go ahead and add more classes and bullshit ways for airlines to take your money. You've got basic economy, economy plus, business class, $14.99 for fucking Wi-Fi, and now you want to add a no child class? Like, it's the industry that I feel the least sorry for taking a huge hit in the pandemic. You should have saved all those $200 arbitrary change fees you charged me because I had to change a flight. Like, fuck off, United.
I feel like that was a very specific anti-United advertisement.
That's awesome.
We're United against United. Yeah, fuck United. No surprise, I made this gimme or not topic, but I will pay the extra for a non-children flight. You know what? It's not the noise that bothers me. It's the pounding against the back of my chair when children are sat next to each other without parental guidance, or there's a parent sitting next to them and they just don't give a fuck. And I do not respect that, because you know why? I didn't make the choice to bear children at this time in my life. So I should not have to take the burden of having to deal with your stupid ass children in real life.
Okay.
Hold on though. I agree though. When parents allow the kid to kick the seat, and this has happened to me, I'm like, are you fucking joking? Like, how are you not stopping your kid from doing this? Like, over and over again.
A couple things. I have been sometimes you don't notice it. Like, I mean, if you're looking at your own iPad and shit, like, you're not paying attention when your kid accidentally sticks his foot out. The other thing I'll say is I can tell the kid to stop kicking. A lot of times they're not doing it on purpose. They're like, you know, just fucking kids. They get excited about something. They kick the back of the seat. And I feel bad. Like, I'm like, dude, you can't do that. But that's not going to stop the motherfucker from doing it again.
You have a couple of options. I can come down hard on my kid to stop kicking your seat. And if in doing so, you're going to take, I'm going to take away the kicking from your back, but I'm going to give you some crying in your ear. Yeah. So, I mean, which one do you want?
So you're saying that I should also not care and just like slap the shit out of your child?
No, that was not what we were.
If you want to go to jail, and thank God you're past your child rearing years.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it's next.
Okay. Week. All right. Let's switch to something totally different, because I'm really pissed off about the child thing.
It's also how this segment works, too.
But totally different. Okay. So we talked about GameStop. So investing in crypto, I'm going to go first. I'm going to say nah, because I just don't have the time or patience to read up and like really understand it before I jump in. And I don't think that I would want to start spending money on something that I don't actually understand. And economics was always like a make-believe thing to me in high school when I took that class. I was like, it's not real. Just what people think it is. So I'm going to say nah. All right, cool. Dubs, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I run into these topics sometimes where it's like, I just put $50 on an NHL player points parlay. So I don't think I can simultaneously say, hey, I don't think it's good to invest in crypto. I don't quite understand crypto. Are we going to end up using that currency at some point to buy some shit? Is the dollar going away? I don't know that I get it, but gimme, get that money. Blockchain. I'd like to yell blockchain at people, because I do feel like it makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about. So blockchain, invest, gimme.
All right, John, expert of cryptocurrency?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I'm not doing it yet. I'm not investing in it yet. But as I make riskier and riskier bets on Wall Street, yeah, I'm getting there. And I'm going to soon. So gimme. I'm looking into getting into Dogecoin, which is a cryptocurrency created because of a meme getting popular of a Doge. And so investing in a crypto born out of an online internet joke, that speaks directly to my sensibilities. So I'm going all in on Dogecoin pretty soon.
It's up, like 3,000% or something?
Dogecoin was a part of the Reddit thing this week.
Yeah.
It shot up astronomically. Like, people are making 600% gains off of it. It's crazy.
Little known fact, my ex-boyfriend is buying Doge.
Little known. That is a little known fact. Very little known.
Actually, personal fact. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I like it though. I like that. Was good to know. Seriously, a real question. Is crypto ever going to be a currency that we use to buy shit other than like drugs?
Right now, it's one of its best purposes is to buy drugs on the dark web. But eventually, maybe. I don't know.
All right. I'm sorry. Yeah, who's next? Eve, what do you got? What are you doing?
I think the only one left is Esteban. Didn't you already go?
Oh, that's
right. I still got to go. So I was very much in the Dubs camp of not knowing at all anything about this for years. But I felt like it was very like ignorant, right? Like it was happening around us. And when I looked back in history, like Bitcoin started in 2009. Like the fact that we don't know much about it, or I don't know much about it, means that I'm an ignorant asshole and that I have not cared about
that way.
Learning. Exactly. I bet you agree. but now I'm gimme gimme. And I would also like to share a little known fact similar to Eve's ex-boyfriend that I have also invested in Dogecoin.
Hey, right. Wow. So
I dipped into it yesterday. When it was around 3 cents. So assuming it gets up to a dollar, I might make some money. I do want to say I have a friend who bought in at like about a
fractions of a penny
ago, and he has done nicely with his money so far. So I don't know. I'm ready to gamble. I'm ready to step it up a notch. I'm ready to get out of the parlays. Let's do this.
Jump back into the game. Okay. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is when we're driving and there's that merge lane coming off or into the highway, do you let the car in at the last moment? So letting the car that's merging come into your lane at the last moment, gimme or nah? John?
Well, it kind of depends. Like if it's someone getting on from an off-ramp, like a natural point to get onto an interstate, then yeah, I'm going to let that person in. But if it's what I'm really envisioning in my head and like a lane is shut down for construction and there's signs flashing things in people's faces for miles before that happens, and I am not. I hate that person. I'd rather they destroy my passenger side mirror than to let them in. I say that, however, knowing that the zipper method of traffic, right, that's the most efficient one that there is. You should absolutely stay in both lanes until the last minute and and someone has to merge. No, it's been proven that's the most efficient for traffic flow. But yeah, my ego rears its head and throws reason out the door, and I don't let that fuckboy merge. And if they try to and they make it somehow, if there's someone else that has weak paper hands instead of diamond hands in front of me and they let him in, I lay on my horn to let him know my displeasure.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Esteban.
So I'm gimme on this. I think we all know when you're driving down the highway and you see the car from like maybe 10 seconds away and you're like, that motherfucker is going to try to merge, right? Like, you know it. And you're like, oh, here we go again. So what I like to do is I keep going and see if they keep going. If they are keeping going at the same speed, then I do slow down a little bit. But then I tailgate them for the next like 5, 10, 15 minutes. Follow them around and zigzag around. And then they're like, is this person crazy? Is this road rage? I don't know what's going to happen. And so it just kind of fucks with people. So I do enjoy it. It's almost a little bit of a game. So I'm gimme on this.
I'm a little scared of you now. Jesus. Have you ever been followed? Because I have been followed after doing something. Okay. Okay. I'm going to say nah.
Uber Eats. And so...
Oh, yeah. I just signed up to drive for Uber Eats. So I'm using that to possibly get more dates. No, I'm using it as a way of earning more income where I don't have to actually drive people around physically.
I just think that's okay. Never mind. I'm just thinking about you being followed by someone. I could see someone getting their shitty Chinese food from you and be like, you know what? I'm going to go follow the Uber Eats girl around.
But they could just call me because they have my freaking number through Uber Eats. It's weird. Anyway, yeah, that would be weird. I don't like the idea of letting people merge in. I wish I drove a bigger car or a truck so that I could block the lane because I get really, really, really pissed when I see a car, like you said, going at 2 miles, knowing that it's a merge lane, and just deciding like, fuck it. No, I'm going to wait to the very end and then they're going to let me in. Like, nah, dude, nah. I will not be the one to let you in. It'll probably be the old lady behind me. Dubs?
Yeah, I'm a big karma guy. There's a lot of things that go against me on the karma train. So yeah, gimme on letting people in. I will say this. When I let you in, I really find it's very important to me that you give me the wave, that you give me the courtesy. Hey, thanks. Hey, you know what? Saw you. Appreciate it. And if you don't give me the fucking wave, I'm going to wish horrible things upon you. But I will almost always let people in. And sometimes even when I see that they're being assholes, I will be the guy I'll be the weak hands that John hates probably more than the guy that merges. I'll be that guy that lets them in. And in my head, I'm like, I'm building up some karma. The good things are going to happen to me, but they better fucking wait. They better give me that little, Hey Debs, like what you're doing out here.
Don't buy GameStop. We don't want you and your paper hands in it.
Yeah. Paper Mario over here.
Don't come catch these weekends.
Paper Mario.
Give me your nah. Paying for premium YouTube in order to skip commercials. Dubs.
Yeah. I don't hate commercials enough to pay to skip them. I do have a legit question though about premium. Does premium let you close the YouTube app and
keep
playing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Whoa, hold on a second. Because that is the thing I hate the most about fucking YouTube. I want to play a song or something and then put my FanDuel parlay all at the same time. And so I am not on paying for premium YouTube to skip commercials, but I think I might be gimme on paying for it so I can close or minimize the app and still hear some fucking shit. So I don't know. Ganah? I don't know where I'm at on that.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I'm getting close to gimme. I'm not paying for it yet. But I think I'm going to soon. So yes, gimme. In the year 2021, I should be able to have YouTube play from my phone and be able to darken the screen at the same time. It's a pretty basic function of every single application that's in the App Store. I use YouTube so much for music.
Masturbating in the dark.
No, there's you porn for that. It's you porn.
It's RedTube. But I use YouTube for music, just giving out stock tips. I'm going to end up paying for the incredibly basic functionality of being able to use an app while my screen is off. Also, just a bonus is getting rid of the ads. The ads are getting to be so bleeping long, and it's dangerous sometimes while driving to hit the skip button. And one of the ads they tried to slip in on me one time was like a 45 minute long pilot episode of Zoe's Incredible Dumb Playlist or whatever the fucking show is no one's seen. And also, these Motley Fool ads are like 15 minutes long. Like, what are you doing? So, yeah, I'm gimme. I'm ready to cough up some money to YouTube. Just take it. Just take my money.
Yeah, I'm gimme as well. I pay for premium just so I can do my premium and then have like Tinder or something in the background, something that I'm doing in the moment where I don't want to worry about either commercials coming up or my song stopping. All right, Esteban.
I'm actually because I'm going to go against the grain here. As an internet celebrity and chef, I actually really depend on the commercial revenue that is received from YouTubers YouTubers that watch my film. So for me, I prefer that folks you just go ahead and sit there and watch. So that way they can see my next delicious sizzling meal.
Yeah, Esteban, I'm glad you brought that up. John, quick update on sponsorship outreach from your point. This, by the way, would be a perfect time where we would pause the podcast and play the advertisement for the advertiser that has yet to sign with John. But I know, John, you've been working hard. Any updates?
Yep. Yeah, so I took my wife out to happy hour drinks on Thursday, and we talked very loudly about pancakes and pandemics to make sure that bartenders and like the other customers around us heard the name Pancakes and Pandemics as a podcast. So I think we're pretty close.
Okay. So the strategy right now is to go out for dinner and drinks with your wife and talk loudly about the podcast in hopes that there's a person in close proximity that might want to advertise on a podcast and picks our podcast because you're talking loud about it.
I think that's how viral marketing works. So yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I understood the strategy.
Also, now that I'm on Reddit, I'm going to start, I'm going to start slipping into pandemics to my Wall Street boys.
Yeah.
Love it. Wasn't sure what this meant, but popular diets. Give me your nah.
Oh, yeah.
Esteban, can you explain that a little better?
Yeah. So happy to. So the idea here was, do you do intermittent fasting or like the Jenny Craig diet? Like, would you try it just to lose a few lbs? Would you do it? That was really the idea here.
Okay, I'll go first. Give me your nah. I say gimme, because I will try anything at least once. So, except black people until whenever that happens. Jesus, but
I stopped myself from making the joke. And okay, never mind.
So yeah, I've tried intermittent fasting. I have not tried some of the other ones, but yeah, I think it's what do I have to lose, right? Besides pounds. All right, Dubs.
Yeah, I'm nah. I don't like any diets. All you need in life really is Beachbody, Fatty Cathy, and you really only need that for about 7 to 10 days to start every year. My current diet is to try not to pig out after 10:30 p.m. So is that a popular diet? Probably not. So I'm going to go nah on popular diets.
All right, Esteban.
Gimme. I mean, I am also, like you, Eve, willing to try anything once. I am interested in, will it work? Will it not work? Can I change my life in order to make this fit in? Intermittent fasting was a good example. What I found is that I don't really eat breakfast, and then I wait until, lunchtime or after to really eat anyways. However, the problem is that it didn't actually seem to make any differences because I was still drinking beer at night. I'm willing to try, but I need something that's going to fit with my, I guess, caloric intake the way I like to take it. So
can I actually tell a quick story about, cause it kind of ties into Reddit. We talked about licking butthole and we also talked about trying things once. I had a friend that, he said he used to lick his wife's asshole. And I was like, I don't understand that. I don't know how you do that. He goes, well, when you've been with someone for a really long time, you just got to do some different things every once in a while, see how it goes. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to try anal. And I was like, man, I don't even know how to get started. And he was like, I just go to Reddit. Tons of stuff there. And lube, that is kind of the number one recommendation if you go on Reddit about anal. Just, garbage fact plus a little Reddit information plus a little licking asshole talk. Thought it all fit in. Maybe it didn't. We can go to
that's what he said.
Plus a little do anything once. Is that where that was?
Yeah,
coming
I think that was where I think that was also going there too. I think I mixed everything into a little stew that I had. All right, story over. Proceed.
John, I think you're still have to go, or did I?
First of all, I can't believe y'all don't eat ass. But yeah, so
I will never eat ass.
John, you're a big
proponent. Nah, popular diets. The thing with those diets is that they just require too much discipline and rely on cutting something completely out, whether it be sugar, carbs, gluten, like whatever. And then when you go off of those diets for just a second, such as like the no-carb diet, the second you even look at a slice of bread, the weight comes right back on. So I think you're better off like eating a little bit of everything and cutting shit out occasionally and maybe order the salad without cheese, get the burger without a bucket of sauce on it, substitute a side of fries with some steamed vegetables, like shit like that.
Okay. Oh. All right. Fair enough. Last, sleeping in on weekends, Esteban.
Yes. And the reason being is that I like to get drunk on Friday and Saturday night.
Amen.
Yeah. So, real easy breakdown on sleeping in there.
It's as simple as that. And honestly, now at this age, I need to sleep after I get drunk. So yeah, gimme.
Okay, I'm going to say gimme as well, even though sometimes I can't do it because I naturally wake up at, God, early in the morning. Just having that, you wake up and you just think, oh, shit, I have to go to work. And then you realize it's Saturday. It's this wonderful feeling that overcomes you and you just feel like you're a child again. You have no responsibilities. That's what I like to feel.
And you don't have a 6-year-old coming in your face asking for some goddamn Honey Nut Cheerios.
Well, I hope I don't have a 6-year-old coming in my face because that'd be fucking weird.
That would be disturbing. Yeah,
people used to pay a lot of money for that on that island.
John,
give me to sleeping in on the weekends. Not the previous thing we're talking about. Our family gets into a routine of going to bed around like 8 or 9 o'clock during the week at night, which I don't really like, but I definitely enjoy when the morning comes around, when I'm able to roll out of bed at 5:30 a.m. or 6 a.m. with a smile on my face. But so on the weekends, yeah, I like to stay up late. I like to do the Esteban and get hammered. I like to keep an 18 pack of fermented carbs around and go in on some kids until late at night.
You're the only one left, Dubs.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I wake up at the same time every day, 7:45. Work day, weekend day, go to bed at 10, go to bed at 1. I'm getting up at 7:45. So, nah, I'm not doing anything different on the weekends. I do sometimes take naps on the weekends. And I want to say, I learned this from my dad, because I do try to hide my naps from my wife, because sometimes she holds it over my head like, oh, what'd you fucking do today? You napped, you lazy piece of shit. So I'll like watch a sporting event and close my eyes, and my kids will be like, Dad, are you taking a nap? I'm like, no, I'm resting my eyes, which is code for, yes, I'm taking a nap, you son of a bitch.
Classic. So,
yeah.
Dad.
Yep.
Classic.
So old. So old.
You are old.
Just resting my eyes. Not as old as Eve, because she's the only one that got older this week. Wow. Already talked about it. All right. Anything else that we should talk about before we wrap this up? Eve, do you want to apologize for your anti-Semitic and racist comments throughout the episode?
I thought it was endearing.
You thought that was cute.
I just thought like, well, it's my birthday podcast, and I thought you'll forgive me.
Well, hopefully we will. Hopefully the listeners forgive
hopefully
us.
The listeners will.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. They'll live.
Just so you know, 75% of this podcast does not believe in that stuff. Rate, subscribe, review.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye.